From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Open lines for you this hour and next hour, Ancient Visitors Who Came from the Stars with Brent Rains. I'm looking forward to chatting with Brent. I think I found a dead brown recluse, by the way, in the cave here in St. Louis. Time to get back to Los Angeles. I'll be there next Monday. Well, midterm elections Tuesday. Get ready. Anything could happen. This could be a very interesting message. I'm not even making predictions. We'll just see what happens. Now, some of our affiliates at Carry Coast to Coast may carry election coverage for the first or second hour into our program. Don't panic, because they're going to join Coast to Coast as quickly as they can. And most of our affiliates around North America will carry the complete Coast to Coast program Tuesday night. Let me tell you this little story, though, somewhat of a story as we look at the elections on Tuesday. While walking down the street one day, a U.S. senator is tragically hit by a truck and he passes away. His soul arrives in heaven and he's met by St. Peter at the entrance. "Well, welcome to heaven," says St. Peter. "Before you settle in, it seems there's a problem. We seldom see a high official around these parts, you see, so we're not sure what to do with you." "No problem, just let me in," says the senator. "Well, I'd like to, but I have orders from higher up. What we'll do is we'll have to spend one day in Hades. That's where you have to go. And one day in heaven. Then you can choose where you want to spend eternity, okay?" "Really, I've made up my mind. I want to be in heaven," says the senator. "I'm sorry," said St. Peter. "We have our rules." And with that, St. Peter escorts him to the elevator, and he goes down, down, down to Hades. The doors open, and he finds himself in the middle of a green golf course. In the distance is a clubhouse. Standing in front of it are all his friends and other politicians who had worked with him. Everyone is very happy. They're in evening dress. They run to greet him. They shake his hand and reminisce about the good times that they had while getting rich at the expense of you. They play a friendly game of golf and then dine on lobster, caviar, and champagne. And also present is the devil, who really is a friendly type of guy. He's having a good time dancing and telling jokes. They're having such a good time that before he realizes it, well, it's time for him to go. Everyone gives him a hearty farewell and waves while the elevator rises. And the elevator goes up, up, up. And the door reopens on heaven, where St. Peter's there waiting for him. Well, now it's time to visit heaven. So 24 hours pass with the senator joining a group of contented souls moving from cloud to cloud, playing the harp and singing. They have a good time. Before he realizes it, the 24 hours have gone by and St. Peter returns. "Well then, you've spent a day in Hades and another in heaven. Now you choose your eternity." The senator reflects for a minute and then he answers, "Well, I would never have said this before, St. Peter. I mean, heaven has been delightful, but I think I'd be better off in Hades." So St. Peter escorts him to the elevator and he goes down, down, and down to hell. Now the doors of the elevator open, and he's in the middle of a barren land, covered with waste and garbage. He sees all his friends dressed in rags, picking up the trash and putting in black bags as more trash falls from above, dumping on them. The devil comes over to him and puts his arm around his shoulder. "I don't understand," stammers the senator. "Yesterday I was here. There was a golf course, a clubhouse. We ate lobster, caviar, drank champagne, danced. We had a great time. Now there's just a wasteland full of garbage, and my friends look miserable. What happened?" The devil looks at him, smiles, and says, "Well, yesterday we were campaigning. Today you voted. So be very careful when you vote." You know, nearly half of the likely voters, they say 49%, favor the Democratic candidate in their House district. According to a new poll, 36% the Republican, 15% still undecided. Big undecided vote. More than 37% of the Democrats, then Republicans, say they are extremely interested in these elections. And more Democrats than Republicans say they plan to vote in their party's candidate in their district. The issue is whether Republican targeting in their get-out-to-vote machine can overcome the greater Democratic interest in this electorate, according to the head of Opinion Dynamics, Chairman John Gorman. It's going to be an interesting election. The former Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein will be hanged by the end of January, according to a senior member of the Dawah Party. That's what he predicted, as an around-the-clock curfew kept the lid on sectarian violence after the deposed dictator was sentenced to death. The 69-year-old strongman was sentenced to death for ordering a brutal crackdown that claimed the lives of 148 Shi'i from the village of Dujail, north of Baghdad, after a 1982 assassination attempt on his life. In Cuba, Cuba's foreign minister backed away from his prediction that Fidel Castro will return to power by early December, raising questions about the pace of the communist leader's recovery from intestinal surgery. Felipe Perez Rogue told the Associated Press that Castro's recovery was advancing, but declined to guarantee that Castro would be well enough to attend the postponed celebration of his 80th birthday on December 2nd. Castro turned 80 on August 13th, but he announced delayed festivities when he told Cubans of his surgery in late July. A new survey by Parks Associates shows that teenagers are less likely to communicate via email than any other demographic. According to the study, less than one-fifth of the 13 to 17-year-olds surveyed professed to use email to communicate with friends, compared to 40% of adults aged 25 to 54. What are the teenagers using? Instant messaging, text messaging. It's rampant, they say. Well, I found out that the American Idol judge Simon Cowell is known for ripping individual singers. Now he's taking on a whole city. And I'm going to back up the city of Seattle. You know, we're number one in that city on our station there, KVI. And Simon says, this is what he says about Seattle. They had the worst bunch of miserable singers that I've ever met in my life. It was 2 days of total misery. The weather was bad as well. Look, I spent a weekend in Seattle at our book signing a few weeks ago. Not only is Seattle a gorgeous city, the people there are just tremendous. Simon is way off base on this one. Somebody's got to step to the plate for Seattle. I will. A man, by the way, says he's turning into his wife. I'm not kidding. He's turning into his wife after receiving one of her kidneys. Ian Gammon's wife, Linda, donated one of her kidneys to him before he became ill. Now, before the transplant, Mr. Gammons hated cooking, shopping, and gardening. Hated it all. Well, now he enjoys all these pastimes and has even begun to share his wife's love of dogs, an animal he previously despised. I don't know how, but he did. Well, according to a newspaper out there, Mr. Gammons hated all these things until he got his wife's kidney. And now he says he's inherited her personality traits. That's strange. And this very interesting email in by an unsigned person. Dear George, I have a friend who claims to have been given the power to see demons. I do believe him, and I'm wondering why I can't see them. If someone would want me to see one, why don't they just show up? He prayed for 17 hours straight after he had seen several around his house. What triggers a demon to show itself to you? How can I see one? I only wish to set eyes on one to finalize my assumption that my friend is telling the truth and that demons can be visible. Please help me to end my curiosity. Thank you. I am not going to help you see demons. Open lines. Here we go. Here are the numbers. Write them down. Tattoo them to your arm. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. The first-time caller line is 818-501-4721. And the wild card line is 818-501-4109. I'm George Norrie, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Well, welcome now to the open line portion of the show. I'm George Norrie, and let us go to the phones through my magical wand here. Let's go to West of the Rockies. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Blair in Sedona, Arizona.
Hey, Blair. Welcome back. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you, sir. Good. Hey, because of the reported 80% use nationwide of electronic voting machines tomorrow on November 7th, do you think pre-election and exit polls might prove to be wrong, like some of them were in the 2004 election?
Well, let me tell you, I have talked to an expert in election polling, and he has a friend who has just written a book about voting and what happened in the last election. And they are baffled by the results, and they can only conclude that there was some hanky-panky going on. They have said that never in the history of their polling, and these are two separate individuals, have they seen such a disparity between the exit poll results and the final results. And it's going to be very interesting. They are going to take a very close look at what is going on. Their exit polls, which they will take tomorrow, obviously, will be flashed all over the place. I'll get some results, and we'll see what happens. But they are very concerned, and they do not like the fact that there is no paper trail with these electronic voting machines.
Yeah,
and I don't either.
Yeah, Lou Dobbs said 15 states don't have any requirements for paper trails. Do you happen to know what those 15, who those 15
oh,
states
gosh,
are?
Oh, gosh, no, I couldn't remember all of them.
Yeah, but that might be something to look at. You know, one of the if I may make another comment, you know, we have not covered in the mainstream media is the fact that a lion's share of the war monies is going to the construction of 14 permanent military bases in Iraq. Nobody talks about, they say we have to get out of Iraq, but even if our troops leave, the U.S. Corps of Army Engineers is still going to be there building these bases because of this pre-positioning idea that the people in power now think that we have to have permanent military bases in Iraq. And the electronic voting machines, as Bev Harris reported with you a couple years ago, were basically championed by Northrop Grumman and Lockheed Martin. They contributed the Help America Vote Act.
We're going to have to see what happens tomorrow, Blair, and also see what kind of a mandate the voters send to Washington. The problem is there are a lot of people out there who don't believe the results of these black box voting machines.
Well, yeah, it's God bless the idea of those people who want to bring back paper ballots with a marking, with a pen of solid ink, and don't worry about the speed in which we vote. Understand that the idea is to get a correct tally, even if it takes 1 week to count the vote.
You know, we're in a society now where we want instant everything. I mean, instant everything. And you're absolutely right. You know, what's wrong with taking a step backwards a little bit and doing the old system? And, you know, so it's going to take a little longer, so we're not going to have the results right away. So what? At least we'll have paper trail. You know, there's been fraud since we've had elections. It's gone on. It's been bad. But at least we have some ability to trail what's going on.
I agree. And maybe this is a lesson that the United States of America needs to learn. At this point, we're sort of young. We're like adolescents, and yet we've been given the power of the whole planet. And we still have this idea that it's almost a fear-based idea that we need to get to other people with force instead of get to other people with our example of what freedom really is and liberty in this country, and how we have a diversity, a unification through diversity in America, because we have all the world's peoples seem to be living in America, so we are an example.
We're going to touch a little bit on the elections in the first hour tomorrow. The rest of the program will be with intuitive psychic Joseph Jacobs. Alternative programming tomorrow, obviously, because most of you would have had election results up to your elbows and ears. And, you know, you're going to want to turn to this program for something different. So we will be doing that. Not to take away from the importance of what's going to happen tomorrow, but you'll have your sources to get that information. But we'll briefly touch on it in the first hour. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Hello.
This is Mike. I'm calling from Atlanta.
Well, welcome to the show, Atlanta, where my Detroit Lions defeated the Atlanta Falcons.
Well,
except I don't
you
know where they were. Where were they playing? Do you know?
Yeah, well, we're still looking for a pro football team in this city, you know. Well, what I wanted to tell you, George, 26 and a half years ago, I was involved in a serious accident and with an amputation of both of my legs in a railroad accident. Well, they took me to a trauma center locally, and they, you know, started working on me, and while I was laying there, I felt this hand being put on my shoulder, And there was a little man sitting there, and he introduced himself, and he said, I would like you to repeat the 23rd Psalm with me. And I said, okay, okay. So I'm, you know, lying there. They're working, you know, I'm down trying to get, you know, repair my legs or whatever. And I'm sitting, you know, laying there just repeating the 23rd Psalm with this little gentleman sitting at my right shoulder with his hand on it. Well, about 3-4 weeks later, after I, you know, pretty much recovered and was able to get out, I wanted to go back and meet the people that saved my life and thank them. Well, I met a couple of the doctors, the nurses, and then I asked them, I said, well, where is Leroy? And they said, who? I said, Leroy, the little social worker that was sitting at my right shoulder with his hand on my shoulder, having me repeat the 23rd Psalm over and over. And they said, sir, you were repeating the 23rd Psalm over and over, but there was nobody sitting next to you.
Oh, my God.
And to this day, I know that my guardian angel, his name is Leroy.
He saved you, didn't he?
He certainly did. I mean, and I know that, you know, this was part of the God's plan, you know, that he had Leroy come down there and comfort me, and it worked, because the whole time I was in the trauma center, I never lost consciousness. I never felt anything that they were doing, you know, to, you know, repair or do whatever the best they could with what was left of my legs.
Absolutely. It was indeed a miracle, wasn't it?
So I'm looking forward to the day. Well, I don't want to meet Leroy again under the same circumstances, but I know to this day that was my angel sitting there next to me, getting me through that. So,
well, I'm glad you did. Hey, thanks for sharing that story with us. Next up, East of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George, how are you doing this morning?
Good. I'm doing well.
Hey, I'm calling from Indianapolis, Indiana, and we found a football team.
Yeah, you did.
I'll tell you. Hey, a couple weeks ago, you had a guest on that talked about voodoo and black magic a little bit and some other things, and I fell asleep before I could catch the whole show and call in. But my new wife is from Eastern Europe, and they're very big into witchcraft and black magic and so on and so forth. And I don't know what to think about it, because she believes heavily, and it goes from bad spells and good spells as well.
Does she practice it?
Yeah. She practices, and she has a witch friend back home who sends her energy and helps her along. And she says, if we could bring her here, we would have everything we need, and so on and so forth. And I just don't know what to think about it.
I'd be very careful. Don't cross her. Be careful.
Well, what did you get out of that guest? I mean, are you a believer after hearing some of the things that you've
heard? There's no question that there are some people out there who practice black magic. But you know what? There's two directions for you to look at. First of all, is your wife generally a good person?
Oh yeah, she has a great, caring heart.
There's, I mean, you don't think she'd be out to hurt people, do you?
Oh, no, I don't think so. In fact, you know, she's casting spells to make people go in a good way, not be on her side and assist her, you know, without their, you know, having knowledge of it. If you
she's
know what
probably
I mean.
A good witch. And right. There are many out there. I mean, Evelyn Paglini is one of them. She comes on the program, and she's a good witch. She practices the positiveness of all this.
Right, and she'll be the first to tell you is, don't cross me, you know.
Well, that's a danger point here, because I've got to tell you, good witches would not say that. So we need to investigate this a little further with her.
Interesting. Okay.
Just don't cross her. That's my most current advice. I'll be back in a moment. Open lines continue on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, take advantage of this incredible offer. A couple years ago, we gave a free CD, one of Art Bell's interviews with the late Father Malachi Martin. It was called Perfect Possession. We gave that away with the After Dark newsletter subscription. Well, now we have found one of the old classic Malachi Martin interviews, the scary ones, and we're packaging that up too. So you're going to get two free CDs, the original one and this brand new one that we found, the classic Malachi Martin interviews, when you subscribe to the After Dark newsletter. So simply call 1-888-727-5505. That's 1-888-727-5505. Or you can go online, safe and secure. Thousands of people are doing it this way at coasttocoastam.com. Ancient Travelers with Brent Rains right around the corner. We're going to have to rein him in just about 30 minutes or so. Let's go back to the phone's wild card line. You are on the air. Thanks for holding. Hi there.
Hi. I'm from Kansas.
Well, hello there.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
I'm supposed to be working the polls tomorrow. And when we went for our training to work the polls, we were told by the person there giving us the training that the previous election that we used the automatic voting machines on, that their safety feature, the safety ring, was taken off where the card goes into the machine.
It was taken off then?
Whenever the polling judges set the polls up the previous time, which I believe might have been back in August.
Why did they do that?
Well, they were they didn't get the training, so when they set up the machine, they opened the door, snapped off one of the blue safety rings, and the card was right there and the door was open. Now, they said that they check it against the paper ballots that are put into the machine. But still, that safety ring was pulled off of there. And the door was left open with the card exposed.
Did you protest?
And this happened at several places, was his exact words.
So was he concerned at all?
I'm sorry?
Was he concerned at all, or she?
Yes. Yes, the person giving us the training was concerned about it, but the person clarified at that point that they did check the card with the paper ballots that were put into the machine to make sure everything corresponded properly.
See, maybe because that person was scrupulous, but what happens if someone is not?
I don't know. I would suppose that the paper that was in the machine would not match what was on the card.
That's right.
But it still exists. The safety ring was removed. The card could have been stolen at any point. And this didn't just happen at one place. It happened at several polling places in our county.
What do you think of these voting machines?
Well, I'm grateful for the job, but I kind of think that there's, you know, maybe there's some speculation there about it all.
Maybe they should just go back to the old days, huh?
I guess.
Hire a few more election workers and be on their way. Hey, thanks. I appreciate that. Next up, East of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, this is Chuck from Jacksonville.
Hey, Chuck. How are you?
Good, good. My best friend had passed away, and after the funeral, well, I had to go to work that night, so I went to bed, and my wife come woke me up and asked her if she would want to have his Cadillac. He had a 99 Cadillac.
Yeah.
And she said, yeah, if they'd give it to me. She laughed. Well, I went on to work, and the next day, his son called me and asked me if I'd want the Cadillac. And I said, I can't afford that Cadillac. He said, if you want it, it's yours.
He was just going to give it away.
Right, just give it to me. Well, it was about 3 months later, I had a virus on my computer, so I had to strip my hard drive.
Okay.
Well, I installed, had to install everything, and I pulled up the media player, and his name was on there, and I pulled it up, and it said, hey buddy, I hope you get this message, love you, bye. Well, I called his son and told him about it and played it for him. And his birthday was the next day. We was going to have a party. And I was going to, a couple of days later, I was going to play it for another friend, and it wasn't even on there no more.
It was gone.
Just disappeared.
Was it his voice?
Pardon?
Was it his voice?
Oh, yeah.
Or was it just, so you heard the voice?
Oh, yeah.
How did he die?
It was a drug overdose.
So, obviously, not planned. He wasn't dying. He didn't know he was dying. Because I was thinking maybe he would have recorded this way in advance and then had someone put it on there for you.
I had my hard drive completely stripped. And the guy said, anything on here you want to save? And I said, no. He said, fine. And he had totally stripped my hard drive.
Yeah.
And there was nothing. I kept trying to pull up stuff, you know, that might have been on there. And I couldn't pull up nothing. And then, like I said, that just popped up out of the blue on the day before his birthday.
Well, Charlie, he let you know he's okay.
Evidently.
That's the important thing. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
How's it going?
Good, sir. Thanks.
Basically, I've been a studier of both the light and dark arts for quite some time involving magic. And I want to comment on the gentleman's wife.
Okay, sure thing. Absolutely.
Basically, his wife is most likely what we like to call a neutral witch, mm-hmm. which is somebody who believes that magic is neither light or dark. It's just magic in itself.
But she believes in it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And that, you know, wherever she says, don't cross me, the basic belief is that, you know, an eye for an eye. So if somebody crosses her, then she has the right and obligation to take vengeance.
See, I'm a believer, though, that magic is good and bad. I just think this universe is loaded with positive and negative, no matter what, good and evil, positive and negative. It's out there.
I agree with you that the positive and negative is out there, but there are times that you can use negative energy to create positive things.
Give me an example. How?
Example. Let's see here. Destruction is generally considered a negative energy, correct?
Yeah, I would say so.
Okay, well, if you use, say, destructive magic to kill cancer cells to prevent somebody from having cancer, that would create a positive outlook.
But aren't you using, then, something negative to eradicate something negative?
Yes, but it's something that I, through my own personal experiences, it's a hard thing to do. It's a hard thing to actually accomplish, but once you do, it's actually very rewarding.
Interesting. It's food for thought. Thanks. I appreciate that. That is interesting, using negativity to battle something that's negative. I never quite thought of it like that. Wild Card Line, welcome to the program. You're on Coast to Coast.
Hello.
Yeah.
As we all know, the one who has the gold, the golden rule is, you know, that works, right?
He who has the gold rules.
There you go. And he who has the gold controls the elections, as we see. You know, it's really interesting that if you look at the elections from 2001, all of them were too close to call, too close to call. The code word, an intelligence community, when elections are rigged in different countries, like Mexico, when a Republican election was rigged in Mexico, it was too close to call again, and it's all news blackout about what's going on out there, because there's civil unrest and stuff. But what we have going on here, we have massive fraud. Most the Democrats basically are lower income, and they shop at Walmart. So we just had an investigation here in front of all the Walmarts. There are people collecting signatures from all these Democrats in front of all the Walmarts. $10 per signature these guys are getting for them, and they're tricking them into signing absentee ballots all over California.
$10 a signature?
$10 a signature, and everybody's been in a Walmart and seen these guys, school books for children, this and that. This is connected to the Republican Party, and it was on the news. They're investigating it, and now we're going to have absentee ballot fraud, major fraud. Now, the code word you have to listen to in elections is too close to call. This is what's called stall tactics. When they say it's too close to call, what they're doing is they're getting Democratic votes and their ballots, and they're moving them around, and they're hiding in the basements of schools, I heard. They did it in Ohio, too, the same thing. They're taking the ballots, and they're moving them away, and they're hiding them. So we're going to have another too close to call election here.
Now, do you think both parties are tampering?
No, no, no. What's going on right now here is you have one party controlling the country, the government, okay? Now,
Now, with the cats away, you know, the mice will play. And here, they're playing and making a lot of money. Now, what's going on right now, if the Democrats get some seats right now, let's say, for instance, the gasoline was $3 a gallon. It's dropped a dollar towards the November elections here.
Yes,
okay?
It's plummeted.
Now, right. And now what's going on right now, they're dropping it down to $2 because if gas is $3 a gallon, we get Democrats in seats, there's guys going to prison.
Well, okay? and keep in mind, I still think it's too high at $2.
That's right. That's right. What's going to happen right now, I talked to some guys in the Democrat Party, said when they get some seats, they're going to file lawsuits against, they're going to have an investigation, and they're going to offset the price. They're not going to make it too public, but they're going to drop the price to 99 cents for about 1 to 2 years to offset what was stolen. But right now, what's going on, if they do steal this, get away with this too close to count election, again, the next day, snap your fingers, gas will be $3.50 a gallon the next day. And if you have an IQ over 4, you'll see what's happening.
All right, I will remember that, but give me your prediction then on what's going to happen Tuesday.
Tuesday, we're going to have an election. We're going to have problems with absentee ballots. They're going to say absentee ballots. They're saying, well, we have to wait here. We don't have a count right now. And then when they do get stuff in, they're going to jimmy, and do too close to call. And then there's going to be people yelling and screaming. It's going to be like the 2004 election all over again, and then the news will be suppressed.
And you think this is going to be nationwide or just in California?
Different states. Mainly in California, there'll be the absentee ballot fraud, and then we're going to have other places throughout the states as well. And, when you have a huge network like the Bush administration, they have real good contacts in the intelligence community and CIA, and we know what they do around the world with elections. So this is going to be a real tough ride, and I hope so. Every American could save at least $5,000 to $6,000 per year if they get some Democrats in, because due to math, if you're paying $3.50 a gallon of gas, if you own a company, a corporation,
if you're right, though, if you're right, there aren't going to be any Democrats elected because they're going to control the old election box.
Yeah, but you know, when it's funny. When you set up an election, if you're trying to rig an election and there's only a few people voting for you, look, there's nobody voting Republican, okay? That means it's going to be really hard to rig. You know, you're trying to basically jimmy millions of numbers. That's going to be really hard, man. So they're going to have to work really hard. So it's going to be too close to call. It could take a month.
All right, I want you to call in tomorrow night, if you would. We're going to make an exception for you. Normally, we try to keep people once a month. But do call in. Tommy will remember who you are. I want to get your reaction to whatever happens tomorrow night, okay?
Okay, sounds good. But it will take a while. When it's too close to call, there is a time period where they're slowly doing this. You know, they'll stretch it out.
All right. Tomorrow night, let's see what happens. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, my name is Tommy. I'm calling from around Colorado Springs, trucking through Colorado.
Hello, Tommy.
Can you hear me all right, George?
I sure can. Enough.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, great. I had a comment about magic. When I was about 14 or 15 in my 9th or 10th grade year in high school, I met some people who were dabbling, and I became interested, and so I dabbled as well. And I had, I guess what you would say would be an evil stepfather. We just weren't getting along. And so I started practicing some of these spells and, diagrams one would draw. And I took the opportunity, and I kind of cast one on him. I cast multiple ones on him, and what happened within moments was enough to scare me kind of straight. Within moments of casting the first spell, he got up and went to the kitchen to wrap some food with some plastic wrap.
Okay.
And as he was tearing the plastic off, he sliced his finger wide open. I was so scared, George. I reversed all the rest of the spells I cast on him. And I never messed with it.
Well, good for you, because I was going to ask you, had you kept it on, if it had come back to hit you, because normally that's what happens.
I was so ignorant then. I had never given that a second thought, but I was scared enough that I put it aside.
And never dabbled again?
Never dabbled again, nope.
Well, I appreciate your call, because it's not something to play around with. Wild Card Line, your turn. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Chris from Jonesboro, Arkansas.
Hey, Chris. Thanks for calling.
No problem. I have a question for you, and then I have a story, if you don't mind.
All right.
Were there any Mothman, I guess, Mothman prophecies prior to 9/11?
Yes. Mothman goes way back.
Well, what I'm asking is, anything about 9/11, like what happened in Point Pleasant? like sightings around the World Trade Center or anything like that?
No. Some people have talked about seeing some strange flying object after the fact, but not before.
Okay. Now, my story is out here in Jonesboro, we have a, I guess, an urban legend, if you will. It's called Keller's Chapel, and it's a church out in the middle of the woods. And the thing is, back in the early 1900s, there was this preacher there. And what he did was he actually murdered 9 babies.
Preacher did?
Yes. Yes, sir. It was a preacher. And so me and my friends, we all went out there with our video cameras and stuff like that. We got little night vision things, you know. And the thing is, you're supposed to knock on the door, and you can hear a baby on the inside crying. Now, when we knocked on the door, we didn't hear any babies crying or anything like that, but it sounded like there was something moving around in there on the inside.
Yeah.
And we walked around the graveyard, just, you know, being a couple of dumb teenagers, and we actually found the 9 graves that says Keller baby number 1 and Keller baby number 2, because no one knew who these babies were.
And oh, my.
Yeah, and these things, they had, it was just really bad. And
I would assume this church is not being used now, is it?
Oh, no, sir. It's been abandoned for some time now.
And they won't knock it down?
They haven't knocked it down yet. But also, there's also a big, I guess, a cult-type thing that goes on in the woods around it, and we were still walking around. And we actually found some crucified animals out there. It was pretty spooky.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like the place you want to be. Sounds like a lot of negativity there. Yeah. Whatever happened to the preacher? They take him away when this all happened years ago?
I think he hung himself after the fact that he murdered the kids. I've done a lot of research on it, and I've done a few reports in school for it.
God. How old were these kids?
These were babies, not more than a year old.
I mean, where did the babies, how did he get to them?
It was like a caretaking type thing, like date. Yeah.
And I would assume he'd be watching a number of kids and one would die, so it wasn't so obvious that he had done this thing?
I really don't know. It was really spooky going out there, though.
My gosh, okay. Yeah, that sounds like a negative place to hang around with. Let's go east of the Rockies. You're up for a couple minutes here. Hi there.
Hi, this is Kevin in Abilene.
Hey, Kevin.
Hi, George. I was really wanting to talk to you about something important. I know Saturday's Veterans Day, but the earlier we get this out, the better it's going to be. And I know you being a veteran yourself would appreciate this.
That I am.
There are thousands of Wiccan active duty service members and veterans right now who are being denied the right to be buried beneath a quote-unquote official emblem of faith by the National Cemetery Administration.
I did not know that. That is a shame, because people who are Wiccans are as good as anybody around, and they believe in God. They just believe in two genders, and that's not fair.
Yeah, and the really bad part is this has been going on for 9 years. There have been 2 active duty members already die in the last 2 years, one is still being denied the right to be buried beneath the pinnacle. One was actually, with some timely intervention from Nevada's governor and the state Veterans Affairs Office, was able to be buried underneath his...
Who are these people at the Veterans Affairs? Do they think that these are black mass followers?
I have no idea. We keep getting the runaround from the National Cemetery Administration. We just need everybody of all faiths. If the government continues to tell which religions, you know, you can die, but you can't be buried underneath a sign of your faith, then it's just, you know, the New World Order is already in.
Hey, Kevin, send me an email with some information on who our Coast to Coast listeners can contact at the VA, and we'll bombard them with emails and calls. So you do that for me. I'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. We're going to rein in Brent Rains and talk about some ancient travelers on Coast to Coast AM.